Earlier this week, I read a story about a pastor who leads a church full of college students, just full of college students. There's so many college students in this church that when school is in session, attendance on a Sunday morning triples in size, but the pastor says the offering only increases by $17 a week. In fact, one week, a broke college student put into the offering bucket a ham, egg, and cheese biscuit with a note attached that said, "Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, I give unto you." Well, in Acts chapter 3, that's exactly what Peter and John do. They give this lame beggar everything they have, which just happens to be none other than Jesus himself. Let's set the scene. Peter and John, who are two of the 12 apostles who witnessed the resurrected Jesus, are going to the temple at 3 p.m. to pray. Now, these are religious Jews who had been to the temple their entire lives. And at the most prominent gate to the temple lies a man who has been lame from birth. No doubt Peter and John have seen him many times before. But this time something was different. And they fixed their eyes on him, and Peter says in Acts 3:6, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." The man is instantly healed. He stands and leaps for joy, and then he goes running into the temple, praising God. Peter and John gave him everything they had, which just so happened to be everything that he needed. They gave him Jesus. And so that brings me to the big idea of our passage this morning. Jesus is the one you need. The big idea from Acts chapter 3 is that Jesus is the one you need. You know, I know that I haven't met many of you before this morning, but I want to ask you a personal question. What are you facing these days? What joys are you facing? What trials? What are you facing at home, at work or school? What are you facing in your family, in your finances, in your marriage? What are you facing? Whatever it is, Acts chapter 3 tells us that no matter what you're facing, Jesus is the one you need. Jesus is the one you need. Now, of course, the question that we have to consider this morning is why? Why is Jesus the one that you need? In your life, with all that you're facing, why is Jesus the one you need? Well, Acts chapter 3 is going to provide us with two reasons why Jesus is the one you need. First, Jesus is the one you need because Jesus heals. And second, Jesus is the one you need because Jesus blesses. So we're going to take those one by one. Let's begin with the first. Jesus is the one you need because Jesus heals. So after Jesus heals the lame man through Peter, the lame man rises up, he runs into the temple, and he's praising God, and everyone recognizes him as the man who just 5 minutes before had never walked. And they're astonished, amazed, blown away, and so they crowd around the man who happens to be clinging to Peter and John. And so Peter takes the opportunity to preach them a sermon. And he teaches them one critical, life-changing lesson about physical healing. And here it is. You'll see it on the screen behind me. Jesus heals because of who he is, not because of who you are. Teaches them, Jesus heals because of who Jesus is, not because of who you are. Now, let's take that statement and unpack it in two parts. The first part, Jesus heals because of who he is. Look again at Acts 3:16. In Acts 3:16, Peter summarizes how the man was healed. And he says, and his name, referring to Jesus' name, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong. The name of Jesus healed the man. See, the name of Jesus refers to everything that is true about Jesus. And so we have to wonder, who is Jesus such that he heals? Well, if you look at verses 14 and 15, Peter uses two titles for Jesus that are massively important for understanding who he is. Notice that Peter calls Jesus the Holy and Righteous One. That's one title. And then secondly, he calls him the Author of Life. Now, why are those two titles so important? Well, ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and were separated from God, forever deserving God's condemnation, since the fall, God has been promising to send a redeemer, a savior that will bring us back to God. He's been promising to send a redeemer. The redeemer throughout the Old Testament is also called the Messiah or the Christ. And throughout the Old Testament, there's one prophet who speaks more about the coming Christ, the coming redeemer, than any other, and it's the prophet Isaiah. And do you know what the prophet Isaiah calls the promised coming Christ? The Holy and Righteous One. So Peter is saying, none other than the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer has come. His name is Jesus, and he's the one who healed the man. Now here's the part that's really important. Throughout Isaiah, when Isaiah promises that coming is the Holy and Righteous One, when Isaiah describes what it's going to be like when the Holy and Righteous One comes, you know what he describes? Physical healing. Physical healing is this central mark of the coming Messiah's kingdom. You can look it up. I don't have time to read all the passages, but you can look it up in Isaiah 26:19. 29:18, 35:5-6, 53:4, 61:1. Here's the point. Jesus heals because of who he is. Jesus heals because Jesus is none other than God in the flesh, the long-promised Christ, and he loves you from head to toe. And he's the Author of Life, meaning he has all authority over physical and spiritual life, and so he can heal any disease or sickness. Jesus heals. Now let's unpack the second part of our statement. Peter teaches them, Jesus heals because of who he is, not because of who you are. Look with me at verse 12. Peter says, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? Jesus healed the man through Peter. And this text tells us not because Peter was extraordinarily powerful or extraordinarily godly, and not because the lame man's faith was so strong. After all, I mean, to be totally frank with you, we're not even sure that the lame man even believed in Jesus until after he was healed. Jesus heals the man because of who Jesus is, not because of who he is or who Peter is. And here's why this is so important. Some of you have grown up in religious traditions that have taught you that if you would just pray a little harder, believe a little better, and confess your sin a little more thoroughly, well, then you'd be healed. And since you're not healed, it's a sign that you haven't confessed hard enough, you haven't prayed hard enough, you haven't believed hard enough. And if you have suffered under that false teaching, I am so sorry. Peter says no to all of that. Peter says Jesus heals because of who Jesus is, not because of who you are. Here's the point. Jesus is the one you need. Jesus is the one you need because he is the Christ, the Redeemer, come to bring you back to God. And if you embrace Jesus as your only hope in life and in death, then he will be Christ, your healer. And he may heal you here and now, temporarily in this life, but he will most certainly heal you when his kingdom comes and he raises you from the dead and gives you a resurrected body on a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be extraordinary. You'll never get sick again. I'm going to be tall. Our new bodies are going to be amazing. Jesus is the one you need because only Jesus can promise you eternal and ultimate healing. He is resurrected. If you hope in the resurrected one, though you die, you will live. Jesus is the one we need because Jesus heals. So what should we do? Two things. First, seek healing fervently. Seek healing fervently. You know that James chapter 5 says that if you're sick, you should call the elders of the church to pray for you because the prayer of God's people is powerful and effective. And so this morning, if you are suffering, if you're suffering emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, or physically, do not leave without being prayed for. I mean, I just want to get really practical. After I'm done preaching, me and Pastor Andy will be in the front. There'll also be a prayer counselor in the back. Please, if you are suffering, whether it be physically, spiritually, emotionally, or otherwise, don't leave without receiving prayer. Prayer is powerful and effective. Jesus is risen. His kingdom has come. It may break in now. Let's pray for you to be healed. So come to the front. Look, if you're feeling like, coming to the front, that's kind of makes me nervous, well, grab the person you came with and come and let us pray for you. Or go to the back. And if you know someone in this room who is suffering in some way, don't let them leave without you praying for them or you bringing them to be prayed for. Because prayer is powerful and effective. The church that the gospel creates and the Holy Spirit empowers is a church devoted to prayer. So let's pray together. Now, because Jesus is also the author of life, every form of healing that is legitimately offered today is a sign of Jesus' grace. In other words, medical doctors, physical therapists, occupational therapists, physician's assistant, nurses, and the like are a gift of Jesus' general grace to the world, and we, his people, should utilize them. Let's be like Peter. Let's look at physical suffering with compassion and seek to relieve it with every means that Jesus gives us, prayer and every other means available. So first, what we should do in light of Jesus being the healer, is that we should seek healing fervently. The second thing I think we should do is wait on God's timing patiently. Wait on God's timing patiently. Since Jesus is the King who has come, physical healing is available today, and we should seek it and pray for it. And since Jesus' kingdom is still to finally and ultimately come, often physical healing has to wait until Jesus comes in power and establishes his kingdom on earth at the end of time. He may heal you now, but eventually you're going to die of some disease. But our eternal hope is that the kingdom is coming, and we'll be healed forever. And so we should wait patiently on Jesus' timing for our healing. Some of you have heard of an early church leader named the Apostle Paul. We're going to get introduced to him in Acts in just a few chapters. And the Apostle Paul had a physical ailment, what he called a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed fervently that God would take it away. And you know what Jesus' answer to him was? No. No, and you know what he taught Paul? I'm not healing you because my power is made perfect in your weakness. Jesus is more committed to your dependence upon him than your physical health. And he will often bring us low in order to lift us up in dependence upon him. And so we seek healing fervently, but we wait for it patiently. Perhaps in this life, but most certainly when the kingdom comes. And so, friends, Jesus is the one you need because only Jesus has resurrected from the grave and can give you the promise of resurrection to eternal life. Jesus is the one you need. First, because Jesus heals. And secondly, and more importantly, because Jesus blesses. Because Jesus blesses. In Acts chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, Peter is still speaking to the crowd that's gathered around him at the temple. And you'll notice that he turns the subject very quickly from healing to something even more important, blessing. Read verses 25 and 26 with me. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Okay, for a moment we need to travel back in time. Because when Peter mentions Abraham, he's referring back to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Specifically, he's referring back to one of the most important chapters in the whole Bible, Genesis 12. So let's travel back in time thousands of years, where God appears to a man named Abraham, who's 99 years old. He's married to a woman named Sarah, who's nearly as old as he is, and they have no children because they're infertile. And God promises Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to have more children and grandchildren than you could ever count, and I'm going to bless them so that they will bring my blessing to all the scattered families of the earth. That's what Peter's referring to. Now back to Peter's speech. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, my brothers here in the temple, the true child that was promised to Abraham has come. His name is Jesus, and he has come as the Redeemer to bring God's blessing, to bring you back to God. And you know what you did? You murdered him. But God raised him from the dead. And if you'll turn from your wickedness and trust in him, the blessing can still be yours by grace and grace alone. So what's the blessing that Jesus brings? Let's look together at verses 17 to 21. What is this blessing? Peter speaking says, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back that, and here comes the blessing, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So the blessing Jesus lived, died, and resurrected to bring to you is threefold. Forgiveness, refreshing, and the promise of the restoration of all things. So it's forgiveness. Jesus lived a totally sinless life. Sin, if you're somewhat new to Christianity, is just a sort of fancy word for describing failing to do or be what God requires. Okay, so sin is failing to do or be what God requires. Jesus lived the sinless life we should have lived in our place. And then he died a sinner's death on the cross where we should be going. And then Jesus rose from the grave, conquering the curse of sin that should be upon us eternally, all so that he could blot out our sins. In the ancient Near East, when they wrote on what was kind of like paper, the ink didn't actually sink into the paper. That way you could wipe it or blot it out. Here's the picture. Why don't you imagine for a moment a massive whiteboard, maybe like even larger than the size of the screen behind me. Now I want you to imagine every dishonorable thought or deed you've ever done written on it. Can you imagine how massive the board would be? Now I want you to imagine added to that every honorable thought or deed that you've left undone. Now imagine the truth, which is that just one word on that whiteboard is enough to condemn you to eternal hell before a holy and loving God. That's our hopeless estate that we bring in this morning. But Peter says, Jesus died and shed his own blood to wash that whiteboard clean forever. And even as in this body and life, you get up and start writing on it again, he washes it clean again and again. He forgives and blots out our sin. And if that weren't enough, the blessing Jesus died and resurrected to bring is also, it includes refreshing. How many of you are tired? I feel like I've been tired since I was 15 years old. You know, it's like, who among us is like, I just feel totally full of energy? The only people that would say that is this guy sitting here and the children over there. That's it. The rest of us, God bless you, sir. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus did not die to lob forgiveness at you so that you could stay far away from him. Jesus died to bring you near so that he can refresh you in the midst of all the trials you're experiencing. Maybe you're not exhausted physically. The exhaustion of sin, the exhaustion of rebellion, the exhaustion of challenging relationships, the exhaustion of trials. Jesus has died to bring you near so that he can refresh you again and again, even in the midst of what you're facing. Jesus doesn't promise to pluck you out of your trials. He promises to refresh you in the midst of them. He lived, died, and rose to forgive your past, to refresh you in the present, but also to give you the hope of the restoration of all things. That's your future. Let me read you a quick preview of it. Revelation chapter 21. This is the restoration of all things that Jesus lived, died, and rose to bless us with. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. By the way, if you love to surf, don't worry. This is somewhat metaphorical language for no more chaos. The sea was associated with chaos. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You notice that our future is physical? You're not going to float around on a cloud playing a harp for all eternity. That's hell. What's coming for us is this beautiful, physical, new Jerusalem, this capital city, more beautiful than anything we could ever imagine. That's what will happen at the restoration of all things. And here's the best part. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Jesus is the one you need, because only Jesus can bless you with forgiveness and refreshing and the hope of the restoration of all things. Jesus is the one you need. Now, I want to just pause here for a moment. Let's do a quick sidebar. Why does Peter change the subject so quickly from physical healing to blessing? I think to answer that question, let's once again travel back in time, but not thousands of years from our passage, maybe just three. There's a time in Jesus' earthly ministry, it's recorded in Luke chapter 5, where he was healing scores of people. And one day, some friends try to bring a paralyzed man, much like the one we read about in Acts chapter 3, to Jesus for healing. The only problem is the crowds around the home where Jesus was healing people were massive, and so they couldn't get the man to Jesus. So they decided to get extreme and a bit creative. They climb up on the roof of the house where Jesus is. They cut a hole in the ceiling, and then they lower their friend down on a mat so that Jesus can heal him. And when their paralyzed friend lands literally on Jesus' lap, you know what Jesus does? Friend, your sins are forgiven. Sins are forgiven. You can imagine the paralyzed man's looking at Jesus like, you know, bro, we didn't go through all this to get a sermon about the forgiveness of sins. We went through all this so that I could get healed. And if you could just, you know, make me walk, I'll be satisfied forever. Why does Jesus say, your sins are forgiven? Well, let me ask you, how many of you in here can walk? How many of you would say, everything's okay? I'm satisfied forever. Nothing bothers my conscience from the past. Nothing scares me about the future. And death? Well, I've looked it straight in the eye, and I feel okay about my personal destruction. Yeah, I didn't think so. The reason why Jesus and Peter changed the subject from physical healing to blessing so quickly is because physical healing will not cause you to jump and leap and praise God for very long if you don't receive from Jesus, and Jesus only, forgiveness, refreshing, and the promise of the restoration of all things. And so the question is, what should we do? Jesus is the one you need because Jesus heals and because Jesus blesses. Forgiveness, refreshing, restoration of all things. That's the blessing. What should we do? Acts 3, 18 and 19. Repent, therefore, and turn back. It says, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back. Jesus is the one you need because only Jesus will bless you with forgiveness, refreshing, and the promise of restoration of all things, but only if you turn back to him. Only if you repent and turn and embrace Jesus as your only hope in life and in death. It's only if you turn to him that you experience forgiveness, refreshing, and the restoration of all things. So I guess my last question for you is this. How do you need to turn to Jesus? Today, how do you need to turn to Jesus? Maybe you need to turn to him for forgiveness. Maybe you've been moral and somewhat religious your entire life. But you've never embraced Jesus as your only hope in life and in death. Can I remind you about that whiteboard? Your sins will condemn you forever. And Jesus will blot them out eternally. Will you turn to Jesus for forgiveness? Will you come to the end of thinking, well, maybe I can put up another whiteboard next to that one and write enough good deeds next to it to maybe outweigh this one? Only one sin is enough to condemn you before the holy God. Yes, you're a good person when compared to the other people in here, but not when we compare you to God himself. If Jesus does not wash your sins away, those sins will condemn you and condemn you. But Jesus loves you. He paid it all to forgive you. Will you turn to him for forgiveness? If you're saying, I'd like to, but I'm not even sure how to do that, on those connect cards that you grabbed on the way in, there's even a sample prayer at the bottom of them that will help give you language for embracing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, look, that prayer at that bottom of the card is not magic. It's not like if you just say it, you're forgiven. But that only repenting and believing in Jesus forgives sins. But that prayer at the bottom of the card helps give you language for that. Or maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time, but you know, like, you've blown it in some way recently. You've sinned before God, and you're kind of in that place where you're trying to pretend it wasn't such a big deal, or maybe perform in such a way that maybe God will kind of overlook it and let you back into his graces. Look, if you're in Christ, you're in God's good graces. Nothing can change that. So it's safe to repent. It's just safe for you right now to turn back to Jesus. Maybe you've been running from him. Maybe you've been, you know, just coddling a sort of sin pattern in your life. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus for forgiveness. So maybe that's one way. You know, in a few moments, we're going to respond in worship. But as we do, that's the time to turn to Jesus. So maybe you need to turn to him for forgiveness. Maybe you need to turn to Jesus for refreshing. For refreshing. Maybe you are exhausted, weary, and heavy laden. And during our time of response, you just need to receive refreshing from Jesus' presence. Maybe you need to receive refreshing by going to the back and having someone pray for you, coming to the front, being prayed for healing. Maybe you need to experience refreshing by standing and worshiping and being reminded of the goodness and loving kindness of God. Perhaps the best way to experience refreshing is by partaking in communion. Notice there are communion tables up here in the front. There's a bread symbolizing Jesus' body that was broken for you. A cup symbolizing his blood that was shed for you. If you've come to Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, then I want to invite you to come to the table for the refreshing of his presence. Jesus refreshes as you, in these next three songs, just come, tear off a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, eat it, and remember, Jesus has paid it all. And he's brought me close to himself. He's refreshing me. Or perhaps during this time, you need to stake your hope in the restoration of all things. Maybe you're looking to the future and all you see is fear, anxiety, and hopelessness. And you need during this time to just come before the Lord and say, Lord, as we're worshiping you, would you set my hope fully on the restoration of all things, not on present things? How do you need to turn to Jesus? Whatever it is, he will never give you a stiff arm. He will always draw you near because he lived, died, and rose to bless you with forgiveness, refreshing, and the promise of the restoration of all things. Jesus is the one you need. Let's turn to him now. Jesus, thank you that you are the one that we need, and you are the one who has given himself completely for us. And so, Lord, as we respond now, I pray that we will together seek your forgiveness, your refreshing, and the promise of restoration. Father, I pray for those among us who are not yet followers of Jesus, that they would come to Christ for forgiveness today. For those of us who are weighed down by our sin, that we'd come to Christ for forgiveness today. Father, I pray for those who are sick and hurting and suffering, that they would come to me, Pastor Andy, another trusted friend, someone in the back, and be refreshed by the prayers of a brother or sister. And I pray that all of us would sing now with the joy and hope that we will be part of the restoration of all things in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.